I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us. Myself, Andy, Charlie, John Zmarek joining us now as he does on Tuesdays. John, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
We're doing well. So what's new at the stream?
Good. Well, I've got a piece I co-wrote with Jay Richards. It's called, We Don't Know If Abortion-Free Vaccines Are Possible Because We Haven't Really Tried. Now, one thing you should know about every vaccine for COVID that is currently available on the market, none of them were tested on animals. Does that make you feel better?
Not at all. No, it does not. That's why I'm not getting one.
Well, but they were tested on pieces of unborn babies. That's right. Every single one of the vaccines that are available, there are some in development that this is not true of, every single one was either developed using parts of unborn babies or using... It was tested on cell lines that were derived from unborn babies who were aborted. Not miscarried, aborted. And in fact, it's very likely, because of how fresh the material has to be, it's very likely that the pharmaceutical company that developed it worked closely with the abortionist who killed the baby. Every single one of these COVID vaccines is entailed in the evil of abortion, just as if, you know, Dr. Mengele did all those hideous experiments on twins and Jews and during World War II. Imagine if that research were being used to produce the COVID vaccine.
John, but I remember when Planned Parenthood... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, John.
All right, sorry. The research itself is morally tainted.
Gotcha. Now, I remember when Planned Parenthood was going through this whole fallout about selling baby parts is this part of that? I mean, are we talking about these labs have basically purchased baby parts, probably at a pretty high profit margin for Planned Parenthood, and now they're using them in testing?
Right. Now you see why there was so much pressure to shut up David Biden and even put him in prison. And the Vice President of the United States was, at the time, the Attorney General of California, was using her office to close down his investigative reporting on one of her major campaign donors, Planned Parenthood. So you see this now goes all the way up to the top. And unfortunately, Pope Francis and the Vatican are fine. They're saying, oh, it's nothing. Abortions happened a long time ago. It doesn't matter. And a lot of Christian pastors are saying that too, because there's enormous pressure to take the vaccine, wear the mask.
Yeah, we had that discussion last week with a quote-unquote pastor that was trying to guilt Andy and I into getting a vaccine. It didn't go very far, John.
Yeah, I mean, and the next step is the vaccine passport, which Naomi Wolf, normally I don't agree with, she is warning that that is a means of ultimate social control.
Right.
Because it will be your information following you everywhere, can affect your financial transactions. Basically, it's the Chinese social credit system. It is a preparation to implement that. So that instead of having cash and just doing transactions, no, you have to show your social credit score as well as your vaccine passport to decide whether or not you're worthy. And, you know, there's something in the Bible about having a mark of the beast in order to buy or sell in the marketplace. The vaccine passport sounds remarkably like that instrument of the Antichrist in the book of Revelation. And I'm not usually an apocalyptic kind of guy.
Right. Explain real quick, for everybody listening, John, we brushed over really quick Naomi Wolf. You said you don't normally agree with her. Explain who she is real quick. I know, but we have listeners, I'm sure, who don't.
Yeah. Prominent feminist, pro-choice. She was an advisor to Al Gore. We were both at Yale at the same time. We were in the same class, and we did not get along. But she, to her credit, cares about constitutional freedoms, cares about the American system. And she sees the proposal for vaccine passports as a means of huge corporations like Microsoft basically controlling our ability to travel, our ability to make purchases. I mean, notice that credit card companies have cut off people like David Horowitz from even accepting donations using their credit cards because they consider them extremists. Again, this is all extremely dangerous, especially when it's done by private companies that are not subject to the Bill of Rights. So if you subcontract control over our communications to Facebook and Twitter and Google, they're not subject to the First Amendment. So our freedom is gone, and they can say, well, you know, it's the government. Go build your own social media network. But then if you do, like Parler, they'll find a way to destroy it too.
Hey, John, what about the, you know, politically connected labs who are selling these vaccines? What about their profit motive? And what I mean is this. The demand for the vaccines has plateaued and it was heading down. Now you have a bunch of people come out and say, we're going to require vaccine passports to do a number of things in life, basically to ramp up the demand again for these very profitable vaccines. Do you think some of this is simply profit margin?
Some of it, that's the least ominous part of it. The most ominous part is social control.
Of course.
So I'm not getting the vaccine because I am not at a very high risk of death if I got COVID.
Right.
If I were, if I had a very high risk of death, I would say maybe you should reluctantly make the moral compromise in the same spirit that if you're in a plane crash on a desert island and you're going to starve to death, you can eat the bodies of the people who died on the crash along with you. But what you can't do is open up a chain of cannibal restaurants,
right,
which is what the casual imposition of the vaccine on everyone, that's what that amounts to. You're taking the tiniest loophole of an exception that you can commit cannibalism in order to save your own life. And you're saying, well, there's a small, small chance that COVID will kill you, so come on, bring on the abortion. Let's have more of them so we can have better vaccines. It's incredibly immoral. And our piece at stream.org, we don't know if abortion-free vaccines are possible because we haven't really tried. We Christians have not put pressure on these pharmaceutical companies to make abortion-free vaccines the way the much smaller animal rights group did to get vaccines without animal testing. That should make us deeply ashamed of ourselves.
Well said, John. I can't add anything to that. You're spot on as always.
Thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Stream.org is where you can find John, and I meant what I said there. He's always right on target. So, you know, between that and many other reasons, yeah, I'm not going to get it. I'm still trying to figure out why we've pushed a vaccine so hard for a, and I keep saying this, and nobody's been able to prove me wrong yet, for really a non-pandemic virus. Keep in mind, folks, when I say non-pandemic, I mean it this way. The original definition of pandemic was extreme death. A widespread virus with extreme death. That was the original definition.
Extreme death caused primarily by that virus.
Correct. We don't have that.
No!
I've done the math, folks. We don't have that. Yeah, and Charlie's saying now you're going to also need a booster, most likely next year and the year after, and who knows how long. There's billions of dollars, by the way, at stake here, just so you all understand that.
Oh, yeah, those boosters have to be made by someone.
Oh, yeah, there's
John.
Billions of dollars here.
Oh, yeah. And those people, I know this is going to be shocking to you. They donate to candidates. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Imagine that. All right, we'll come back. I'm going to play the Tucker Carlson thing as we have time. I should as soon as we come back. Fleshing back up next. Kevin Fleshy was with me all day yesterday. Had a great time with Kevin. Always do. Sent him a text message last night and just said, hey, it's always great. I had lots of you texting about how good he is, and I really appreciate that. He's there all the time, though, folks. You don't have to wait for him to show up here on air to ask a question. Just call Kevin and ask, 303-806-8886, or find him online at fleshlawfirm.com, and it's spelled F-L-E-S-C-H.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
All right, we have got you covered. If you have an accident, go to a good shop. They'll take care of it. They'll take care of you, your vehicle. And by the way, they deal with the insurance company directly, so you don't have to mess with that as well. And they work with all insurance companies, some on a direct basis. It's called Direct Repair, by the way. Three locations to serve you up north, 720-541-7697, 720-541-7697, or klzradio.com.
You've already been through a collision Now give yourself the gift of a gorgeous vehicle inside and out. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop Auto Body continue to earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can get your vehicle back to pre-loss condition with the parts and service recommended by your manufacturer. Now A Good Shop offers full detailing as an add-on service so your vehicle feels like new. Click on the free virtual estimate button now at klzradio.com/collision and ask for a full detailing service, including carpet shampooing for the entire interior or trunk, or upgrade to include a ceramic coating that will keep your paint in shiny new condition. Al and his team want to give every customer the wow factor of a vehicle that feels like new. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring.
Learn how to create a tax-free income in retirement so you can make your money last. Register now for a free Social Security and Retirement Income Workshop with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Wednesday, April 28th at Ruth Chris Steakhouse on Bellevue. Dinner included. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money to reserve your seat.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, Charlie. All right, I'm going to play this clip from Tucker Carlson. And there are some that are saying he was just being sarcastic here. We'll just listen and get our own opinion, shall we?
Sure.
Here we go.
We did give in. This grotesque version of Halloween went on for more than a year, and it's still going on. Not even Tony Fauci still pretends that masks are medically necessary. Instead, masks are purely a sign of political obedience, like Kim Il-sung pins in Pyongyang. We wear them because we have to. The only people who wear masks voluntarily outside are zealots and neurotics. How neurotic are they? Well, we know. A Pew survey from last March found that 64% of white Americans who classify themselves as liberal or very liberal have been diagnosed with an actual mental health condition. And you see them everywhere when you walk down the street in any major city. If you dare to go on foot from Union Station to the Capitol, for example, in Washington without wearing a mask, angry Biden voters will snort at you in judgment. How could you? They're saying from behind the gauze. How could you? That's the question we should be asking of them in return. The rest of us should be snorting at them first. They're the aggressors. It's our job to brush them back and restore the society we were born in. So the next time you see someone in a mask on the sidewalk or on the bike path, do not hesitate. Ask politely but firmly, would you please take off your mask? Science shows there is no reason for you to be wearing it. Your mask is making me uncomfortable. We should do that, and we should keep doing it until wearing a mask outside is roughly as socially accepted as lighting a Marlboro in an elevator. It's repulsive. Don't do it around other people. That's the message we should send because it's true. As for forcing children to wear masks outside, that should be illegal. Your response when you see children wearing masks as they play should be no different from your response to seeing someone beat a kid in Walmart. Call the police immediately. Contact Child Protective Services. Keep calling until someone arrives. What you're looking at is abuse. It's child abuse, and you are morally obligated to attempt to prevent it. If it's your own children being abused, then act accordingly. Let's say your kid's school emailed you to announce that every day after lunch, your sixth grader was going to get punched in the face by a teacher. How would you respond to that? That's precisely how you should respond when they tell you that your kids have to wear masks on the soccer field. That is unacceptable, it is dangerous, and we should act like it, because it is. But too few of us have responded like that.
I don't think he's joking.
I don't know. He kind of, because at the beginning he was talking about in response to them coming at you, you should do this. But then he gets into seek them out. And I don't know if it's tongue-in-cheek or not. I couldn't really tell.
I can't tell by his facial expression either.
I couldn't. Well, I didn't see
now
it.
I'm watching
it,
so I couldn't
you.
Tell.
So I couldn't really tell. The last part, I don't know about. Well, yeah, I wouldn't put it on the same level as punching a kid. But I do believe it is a form of child abuse.
I can't argue.
Making kids wear masks while playing soccer, that's nuts. I mean, that's just nuts. So, you know,
I
do know that I would not literally do what he's recommending.
No, I would not either. Now, I have been known to be that person that walks out of the store Immediately as I'm entering into the little vestibule of the store, rip my mask off as I'm walking out and people are entering in from the parking lot with a mask on, say something like, who are all these dumb people out here wearing masks outside? I am that guy.
And you want to be heard?
Yes.
So you say it to be heard?
I say it loud enough to be heard, yes. I am that guy.
Well, I don't. Then how can you criticize Tucker?
Well, I mean,
it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, kind of, but I'm not going up to their face and saying, why are you wearing
Very
a mask?
True.
But I will.
It's not in their face. It's a general.
It's a general statement as I'm walking
out
of the store.
But I've seen you do it. You actually use a megaphone.
I should start. Stand right there in the front of the parking lot. Why are you dumb people wearing masks? You're outside, knuckleheads. Bad enough you got to wear them in the store.
You know, tomorrow, can I mention this?
Yes.
My co-host tomorrow is going to be Shimei.
She's an anti-masker, right? Like us.
Well, not only that, but she runs a Facebook page that is fast becoming very popular.
Okay.
And it's called Free Face. I want to make sure I get this right. Okay, I want to make sure.
Go ahead, you're fine.
I want to make sure.
We're in good company.
Free Faced in Colorado.
Okay.
Okay. And it's all these people who are taking selfies of themselves in stores.
Without a mask?
Yeah, without a mask.
Ooh, nice.
And they are then letting people know on this Facebook page where you can go, where they don't give you a hard time, or where they do.
Oh, perfect. Let's help those businesses out.
Yeah.
I'm in.
So that's what Shimei is doing.
Nice.
And
yes.
But I'm going to talk about it a little both ways because you know that I'd also, while I hate masks, and I think we got to start taking a stand and getting them off.
I agree.
I also worry about
putting. We just had a texter say the same thing, by the way, that it's time we started standing up to this nonsense.
And I agree. And, you know, Shimei and I are going to talk about that tomorrow. She's a young lady, too. She's in her 20s.
Nice.
But I am going to be honest here, I also feel for managers who are put in that situation.
Yes.
I don't want to make it awkward for a Walmart manager. You know, the Empire is telling him, right? The dark Sith Lord who is running this place is telling him he has to require masks.
And he or she wants his job.
Right.
They don't want to lose the job over this.
And Shimei is not one of these, you know, she's not a nasty person. She's not going to be mean or anything like that. But she has basically just said, that's enough. That is enough. If we don't start just taking them off and letting people know it's staying off, there's no way to turn this around.
Got a text message from a good friend that said, I think part of the impact on kids with making them wear masks and making such a big ordeal about it is that it instills fear. We're raising a whole generation that will not be willing to take a risk in business life or anything else. Because it'll be initiated, and basically, you know, fear comes into play at that point. And correct, by the way. True statement.
Yes. They are snowflakes. We are raising nothing but snowflakes.
But Andy,
terrified little bunnies shaking.
Bear
in the
with
wind.
Me here.
Go ahead.
Given the fact that I know for a fact, and I don't understand small business owners that are lefties, but given the fact that I know lefties hate small business.
True.
The Biden administration hates small business. They're
True.
Proving that day after day. So wouldn't it be appropriate for them to instill fear to get young people to not want to start a business? Because by not starting any, eventually they just die off and there are no small businesses left when it's all said and done?
I would not put it past them to think of all possible angles, and that is one.
Because they would love
Absolutely.
They would love nothing more than to have no small business left. Let's face it. Look at what they did in Folks, if you don't agree with me on this, I'm sorry. I'm right in this case 100%. And I can prove it by what they've done by labeling businesses essential versus non-essential.
Ludicrous.
They right there showed their true colors and what they feel about, in most cases, small business. Because who became essential in all of this a year ago? Big business
right.
became essential,
right.
correct?
Right.
So if you were Walmart, and you need to just keep the doors open, you could. But if you were selling, you know, apparel next door or anything next door, you weren't allowed to be open.
Geez, I wish we weren't going to break because I want. Can I ask you one
Go
quick
ahead.
Question?
You're fine. Go ahead.
What do you hate more? The fact that they put out what is essential and non-essential businesses or the deifying of frontline workers?
As if they're important.
And everybody else is less important.
I probably hate them both equally because I despise both because, first of all, there are no frontline workers. We're not in a pandemic. I just talked about that a few minutes
ago.
Just go to work and do your dang job and shut up, okay?
Agreed.
That's the bottom line. Right. And by the way, anybody out there working right now, I guess you could say everybody's a frontline worker, but everybody's not a frontline worker, so stop calling them that because they're not.
Right.
Just go do your job.
And the moment you say that, John, there's going to be some moron saying, you hate nurses. You hate firemen. You hate the people who are...
No, I love them all.
No, love them all.
Just like I love the guy at Subway that
job.
Gives me my sandwich.
Yes. The guy at Subway right. making that sandwich, guess what?
I love them all.
Is a great guy.
That's right. I love them all. Whoever's serving me at that time and I'm buying, quote unquote, their service, I'm happy for.
Because, no offense, I love nurses and doctors and all these, but guess what? They're making a lot of money for what they did, and they deserve that money. I'm glad they're getting it, but they're making a lot of money. None of them are losing paychecks because we, quote unquote, need them. Meanwhile, the kid making sandwiches at Subway, well, he's lucky to have a job because they cut their staff in half.
And I was just looking up really quick. This is a funny stat. We've never looked at this before.
Okay, let's hear it.
I, like you, appreciate and respect doctors, nurses, and the healthcare world.
Of course.
World.
Yeah.
But they're not perfect, folks. In fact, far from it. Because just as a matter of fact, how many people, Andy, have died of COVID this last year?
What's the real
number?
The claim?
The claim is 550,000 roughly,
570.
Right?
570.
570 now. Okay, right. That's the claim. But we all know, even from CDC stats, that
it's under 10%.
It's probably 10% of that.
Yeah, where it's a primary cause. So let's say 60,000, we'll round up.
So do you want to know how many annually die of malpractice?
How many?
251,000.
Really?
I just looked it up. 251,000 deaths per year on malpractice. So tell me again, who's the frontline worker?
The kid at Subway.
Thank you.
Who, by the way, did my appendectomy. That was very nice.
I mean, folks,
a fine job.
Bottom line is, just do your job. If you're in the medical profession, great. I appreciate it. Do your job. If you're driving a truck, great. I appreciate you. Do your job. If you're working at King Soopers, great. I appreciate it. Do your job. I don't care what you do. Just do your job. And I appreciate you. I love all of you. It's great.
But quit,
fabulous.
But quit.
But I'm not going to idolize you.
Quit idolizing and separating people out as frontline, not frontline, essential, non-essential. Enough of all. Throw all that away and just say,
that's
guess
right.
what? We're all workers serving each other.
Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. And if you're a worker wanting to know about your mortgage and what to do and how you can save money, which, by the way, we all want to do, Kirk can help you with that. 720-895-0500. Again, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5 to 6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Hey, Dave from Roof Max texted me earlier, and it was hailing out east of Aurora earlier today. So you know what? That is just around the corner. And get your roof in top working order. And what I mean by that is with the rejuvenation by Dave at Roof Max, you may find yourself able to handle some of that hail damage even better than it would be otherwise. In fact, might even have no damage at all. Dave was telling me today, and I didn't know this, that even the small hail will then act like a sandblaster on your roof where it's not necessarily the big hail that you have to worry about. Some of that small hail can be just as damaging. So have him look at your roof today. He can also help you if a roof replacement is in order. But first things first, he can inspect your roof and tell you exactly what you need, and that's free. You get a free roof inspection. Just call him today. 303-710-6916.
Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora started out as a traditional roofer, repairing and replacing asphalt roofs. But he got so tired of the unnecessary waste. The quality of asphalt shingles has declined in recent years, leading to less and less durable roofs. especially in Colorado, where high altitudes expose your roof to stronger UV rays that damage your shingles. Combined with severe spring and summertime storms and more than twice the national average snowfall, you could end up replacing your roof every few years, paying higher and higher insurance costs. Roof rejuvenation from RoofMax offers an alternative to total roof replacement. Just one application of the all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof guaranteed. Because Dave has a background in roofing, he can provide any patches or small repairs your roof may need before applying roof rejuvenation. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916. That's 303-710-6916.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Charlie's getting our next guest dialed in here. We'll get him up here in a moment. But yeah, that last statistic, by the way, Andy, you hear very few people ever mention.
Yeah, I've not heard it.
It doesn't get talked about. It doesn't get publicized much. Hardly ever. You got to go look that stuff up. You're never going to hear that on any mainstream media source ever, anywhere.
No.
Only if there's some weird, you know, outlandish case where some doctor was just, you know, whacked and, you know, all sorts of patients were having issues, then you might get a 60-minute special on him or something. But other than that, you're not going to hear about it.
I do want to ask, is it possible those numbers are inflated because they count everything where they settle out of court? Where it's only been alleged and they settle?
I don't know how that works and how the numbers are.
Because
I have no idea.
You got to know a number of them settle even though they don't feel they caused it, just so that they don't have to go through court, which would ruin their practice.
Keep in mind, these are people that die, though. There's typically going to be a suit if they
die. I know
it's
going to be off of a death.
Typically, they're going to sue off of that.
Right.
Okay. Well, anyways, we'll go to our guest right now. John Spurzel is up next. John, welcome to Rush to Reason. How are you, sir?
I'm terrific. How are you today?
We're doing great. First of all, let our listeners know some of your background. You've got an interesting story.
So I'm John Spurzel. I'm the CEO, president, and member of the board of directors of T2 Biosystems. It's a NASDAQ-listed diagnostics company.
All right. So talk about what got you there, I guess. Maybe that's the best way for me to ask it.
That's a bit of a long story. I have a medical journey that's probably the most relevant. In 2017, I was diagnosed with a very rare and very fatal disorder, which led to me getting a heart transplant.
Wow.
And when I say very rare and very fatal, I'm talking about something that's been diagnosed 300 times in medical history and typically leads to death in about 4 months.
How in the world did they find that and were able to even save you, John?
Well, I was on vacation in Aruba, and in the middle of the night, about 12 hours into our vacation, my girlfriend said I made a loud noise. She reached over, found me unconscious and unresponsive. So I was defibrillated. I was stabilized in a local hospital, med flighted to Miami, and then finally to Mass General Hospital in Boston.
Wow. And that's where they determined the case, you know, the one of 300 cases they have found.
Yes, they had seen one case in over 215 years of Mass General's existence. And it was a strange way to diagnose it. I had three major surgeries in my first 4 days.
Wow.
On my fourth day, I got the diagnosis, and I was put on life support that day.
Wow. Well, okay, so going through all of that, having a new heart, I mean, I can't imagine what that's like, John.
Well, what it does is it gives you a different perspective on things, and it certainly heightens any sense of urgency that you might have had before. And I'd say I'm a guy who spent 30 years in healthcare advancing life-saving products mm-hmm. all over the world. I found myself lying on my back in a hospital intensive care unit needing those very products that I helped develop
wow.
to save other people.
Amazing.
John, do you kind of, when you look around at everybody, because you now have this every day's a gift kind of mentality going forward, and yet all of us are dying slowly. Do you, when you look around at everybody, do you kind of wonder why they don't treasure every day?
I certainly do, and I think a lot of that has to do with attitude.
Right.
I recently wrote a book, and one of the things that I talk about is how important attitude is in life, in business, in sports, and in my case, it literally helped save my life.
All right, and real quick, I should have mentioned that too coming in. You are the author of Defying the Odds, Transplant Recipient's Model for Business Success, AIDS, His Survival, and again, John, I marvel at what you've gone through and been able to overcome, and then on top of that, do the things you're now doing in life. And it's I guess just a huge testament to what attitude can do.
Thank you. Well, that is a terrific book. I'm actually the author of a book called Courage,
okay.
Powerful Lessons in Leadership, Strength, and the Will to Succeed, which was a bestseller new release on Amazon.
Gotcha.
So I think it's an equally strong book.
Gotcha. Okay, so talk about that book and what's in it.
Sure. First thing is, I wrote it for three reasons. The first is, I had told the story so many times to people. I told it to help American Heart Association raise money, and most people just pushed me to write a book and tell the story.
Okay.
And so I did it for three reasons. One, I wanted to honor my heart donor. Two, I wanted to raise awareness about the importance of organ donation. And three, to raise awareness about sepsis, which is caused by mostly bloodstream infections, and it's the number one killer in U.S. hospitals.
Wow.
Hey, John, really quick here. I can see where you get strength and the will to succeed from your experience. What about leadership? How does that play into leadership?
Well, I think that when I talk about leadership in the book, I talk about leadership with heart. And heart is actually an acronym, and it's made up of five principles that I've found to be valuable in my medical journey, in my life, in business, and sports. And that acronym is, the H is hard work, the E is excellence, the A is attitude, the R is resilience, and the T is teamwork. And those five elements are really key to success, and I think really important parts of leadership.
By the way, I agree with that. Real quick, John, before I forget to ask, where do folks find the book?
The book can be found on Amazon. It's available in hardcover, paperback, Kindle, and I actually did the audiobook myself, so if people want to hear my voice, that's a great way to enjoy the book.
All right, so let's back up for a moment and talk about sepsis. I'm a little bit familiar with that, and maybe a lot of folks out there are because of what you just said a moment ago. Tell me again, how many people a year are affected by sepsis?
There are 1.7 million cases of sepsis in the United States. We lose, that means about 270,000 people die each year of sepsis. So it's the number one cost to U.S. hospitals. It's the number one cause of admissions. It's the number one cause of death. And we spend $62 billion a year dealing with sepsis just in the United States.
Okay, so not trying to be, you know, throw too many wrenches in here, but, you know, we've gone through COVID. We've done a lot in this last year. But what you're telling me is we have something that is here every single solid year that is as detrimental, if not more, considered comorbidity and so on, which I'm not going to get into with you. But the reality is you're telling us about something that's as deadly or more, really probably deadlier than COVID.
Yes, sepsis kills more people every year than the top three cancers combined. So that's breast, lung, and colorectal.
I did not know
cancer.
That.
Can I sound stupid for a moment?
Sure.
Can you explain what sepsis is?
It's generally caused by a bloodstream infection and results in multiple organ failure almost simultaneously. And
if you get it, it's a bad deal. Right,
yeah,
John?
The cascade happens very quickly. Mm-hmm. I got three multi-drug-resistant bacterial infections after my heart transplant while I was in the hospital recovering. And that actually led me to leave the company where I was CEO as a public company and join T2 Biosystems, who is the only FDA-cleared products that are able to detect these pathogens directly from blood. So in addition to writing a book, I made a promise to pay it forward. I decided to direct my energies to try to solve this sepsis crisis.
And this is a question. I mean, I know a little bit about sepsis. I've had some family members that have had some bouts with it. Frankly, nobody's passed away. Luckily, that's been a great thing. But, John, I guess even for my own self, I don't know this answer. How do you contract it typically, or how would somebody know they have it?
Well, typically, temperature is one of the main things. People actually have mental decline as well. Those are two of the main symptoms that we see in the hospital. But it can come from a simple cut. I know people that have contracted MRSA, which is a really common infection that can lead to sepsis and death. Myself, I was in the hospital, critically ill hospitalized patients, people with comorbidities like diabetes, anyone who has surgery in a hospital, they are all at risk of sepsis. Hmm. And the areas that we typically see in the ICU are patients that are on chemotherapy or patients that are on immunosuppressants, like someone who would receive a solid organ transplant.
Well, and those of us here and those of you listening know, damn, you are my old co-host, and Andy knows him very well. My old co-host, John, ended up in the hospital with that very thing you're talking about and was in really bad shape and made it. It was all good. You know, all turned out okay. But, yeah, I mean, it was a very scary thing, and he did not have any of those pre-quote-unquote conditions to bring that on.
And here's what's really critical, is getting the patient on the right antibiotic or antifungal therapy as fast as possible. For every hour of delayed appropriate antifungal or antibiotic treatment, the risk of death goes up by 8%. So detecting these pathogens as quickly as possible is literally life-saving.
Okay, this is great. John, this has been awesome. I appreciate it very much. I appreciate you joining us. Again, folks, you can buy the book at Amazon, Courage, Powerful Lessons in Leadership Strength and the Will to Succeed. John, I appreciate it very much, and this is awesome. You got a great story, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Really appreciate it.
No, good stuff. I appreciate it. And again, that John Sperzel, S-P-E-R-Z-E-L. Say that again, Sher. Yeah, it starts what? Oh, Charlie says it's ZP. I have SP. I'm sorry, Charlie. All of my notes are SP. So just look up the book. You'll find it that way. Guys, Courage, Powerful Lessons in Leadership Strength, and the Will to Succeed. All right, let's do this. Novus Auto Glass is coming up next. Anything you need when it comes to your vehicle's glass, vision, you name it, they've got you covered. And don't forget, if you've got a little pit in the windshield and you want to get that, you know, Band-Aided up, they will send you a pack of Band-Aids to do that, and it works really, really well. Just go to klzradio.com, fill out the contact form for Novus, and they will send you a pack of those. Again, find them at klzradio.com or the website rushtoreason.com/Novus.
As the inventor of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass saves you money by repairing chips and cracks whenever possible. With their patented glass repair technology, Novus can tackle tougher cracks than the competition. In some cases, they can repair cracks up to a foot long, but you have a much better chance at a repair by acting fast. Something as simple as going through a car wash could make your little chip or crack irreparable. For KLZ listeners only, Novus will send you a packet of protective windshield stickers for free. Little pieces of specially designed tape to cover any chips or cracks as soon as they appear, like a bandage for your glass. Request your free windshield patches now at klzradio.com/glass. No matter what sort of damage you're dealing with, there's never any risk with a Novus repair. Should your windshield repair fail, they will credit the cost toward a replacement. klzradio.com/glass.
Choose an agent that represents you, not the insurance company. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts, an independent insurance broker, for a complimentary analysis of your current insurance plans. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And I did look up the book, just make sure that I was correct, and it is spelled S-P-E-R-Z-E-L. So John Sperzel, again, great book. You can read about what he's got going on there. And it kind of goes back to, I didn't plan on this, by the way, we were talking about medical malpractice prior to bringing John on, and then
right.
We find out that sepsis is killing half of the COVID numbers with comorbidity. Make sure I say that correctly. So really, if you get down to it, sepsis is killing more people than COVID. You have a higher chance of dying of sepsis.
Yes.
Than of COVID.
We ran out of time there, but I wanted to ask him, maybe you can answer this. Is sepsis often or usually caused by some form of malpractice to where they're not
always
maintaining good
no.
conditions? Or is it just something that, let's face it, happens? Surgeries are incredibly complex.
Both. I've had family members, and Dan, of course, we never did figure out how Dan contracted it, but he ended up in the hospital with sepsis. My dad got sepsis once just from a cat scratch. So it can happen all sorts of ways, and no, it's not just a medical malpractice thing.
And it's just an infection in
yes,
the blood.
Yes, in the blood. It's an infection in the blood, yes. And typically speaking, it, to his point earlier, and I know this just from having, again, family members, if you catch it early enough, you start treating it correctly with the right antibiotics, you can get it under control. Although I will tell you this, even with all of that, Andy, it's a process to get that done and under control, even with all of the right treatments. It's not a fun thing to have, is my point.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would take a lot of antibiotics.
It does. And again, folks, I want to put this in perspective. I'm chuckling because of how big we've blown up COVID. Literally, we have purposely blown it up to the point that everybody is afraid to go out in public even.
True.
For fear somebody might give them the dreaded virus. Yet, sepsis kills 250,000 Americans every year. half of the number, roughly, of what we're claiming COVID did this year, although that's with comorbidity. So if you pull that out of it, it actually really puts it into perspective.
One thing I'm going to do tomorrow, and I'm not going to give names, but I'm going to walk through a few pieces of a Facebook conversation I had with a pro-masker.
And a pro-masker?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Somebody believes in it.
Rabid pro-masker. And the reason is, you know, I know a lot of people are thinking, oh, man, I listen to these people enough. Yeah, but this guy uses very common arguments that they use, and they're ludicrous. They literally want a germ-free existence, John.
Which doesn't exist, guys.
No!
Nor do you want that.
This all came on my post, a risk-free life is a life-free life.
Yes.
That's what I said.
You're right.
And you know, this guy...
And what do they think?
Oh, he was like, no, it extends life. This is, you know, it's good for, you know... He literally thinks, and I said, well, you know, I'll expand on this tomorrow, but I basically said, what are you looking for? You know, look at what we've done to our society. We've destroyed our entire society for you.
Right.
Okay? Not to stop COVID, because states that didn't do nearly as much did just as well fighting COVID. We have destroyed our entire society for you. What do you expect? And in a nutshell, he said, I need it to where nobody's passing around COVID anymore. Okay, so John, he's demanding COVID be gone. Like we got to spray COVID be gone.
I'm laughing because that's impossible. Folks.
I know, but this is what they want. And you talked about, you see all these young people who are ridiculously healthy. Why is any teenager wearing a mask? It's insane.
Why is any young adult wearing one?
Right.
Period.
Exactly.
Unless they know they're immune compromised, why?
We have a couple of young adults here at the station. I understand we're following rules. We're inside a building and whatever. No. I mean, we're rule followers.
I know.
But between you and me, for them to be wearing
only because we have to.
Right. Between you, exactly. We're being forced to. But, John, we're doing it because we're forced to. Okay, look, and so are these young people, of course. But when you look around at all the terrified young people walking around, terrified that they're going to get it, they really want a germ-free existence. They're out of their minds.
Really dumb question for you and Charlie both. Why do people feel the need to put the mask on outdoors as soon as they jump out of the car? Or in some cases, wear it in the car?
Because they're insane. There are no numbers supporting it.
None. You're just, in my opinion, you're a fool.
Yes.
Let's call it what it is. You're a fool.
They're paranoid, as I've been saying.
You hop out of the car, put a mask on, walk to the store, wearing a mask the entire time, especially when there's no one around you. You're just a fool.
The reason I call them paranoid, you're paranoid if you just do that. Mm-hmm. But every one of them will then point the finger the moment somebody else...
Oh, yeah, they give you the stink eye if you're not wearing it.
Yes.
And I just give it back. I don't care. Whatever. Get over it, folks. I don't care. I'm not wearing one.
Well, my co-host tomorrow, we're going to talk about how we've got to get over it.
We have to push back
we
on this,
have,
folks.
And I don't want to, man. I hate pushing back.
I was hoping by now it would just naturally go away, but it's not going to.
I mean, for crying out loud, my group, the party of choice, what is our saying? I want to control my own life, right, not yours. In other words, I don't want to get in your face.
I don't either.
But what else do we do, John?
I'm afraid, Andy, if we don't start, we're going to be wearing these things forever. They're never going to go away. And I mean that sincerely, folks. If we don't start pushing back, calling how dumb this thing really is, what it is, we're going to be wearing a mask forever. It's going to be the new way of life.
And it all started because we term every death where COVID is present to be a COVID death. That huge number that's on the CNN ticker is what did it.
Which, as I've said many times as well, not to correct Andy, but it's not a huge number in perspective to what we actually have on the planet, in the U.S., in each country,
No, I agree with
when you.
You're not correcting me. I agree with you there. But what I'm saying
is... they highlight that constantly.
It's a big number compared to flu deaths annually or whatever, you know.
Well, but it's not a big death when you talk about heart disease, which is still larger than the 570 you talk about.
Oh, yes. But don't worry about that. Enjoy your fried chicken.
Have that donut. Don't worry about that. we're laughing, but we're serious.
I know.
Because we're laughing, but that's exactly what's happening, Andy. You know, wear your mask from the parking lot into the store, throughout the store, in the car, on your way home. And by the way, when you have sex with your partner, make sure you have your mask on, because that's what Dr. Fauci says you need to do. Yet, at the same time, go have a donut. No big deal.
Exactly.
Isn't that what we do?
Yes.
How stupid are we?
We're insane.
Oh, my word, Andy. We are dumb as rocks.
Yes. This is insane. None of this is making any difference.
No, it's not, folks.
These are puffed up fake numbers.
Yep.
By the way, John, if you have a, you'll always have a large number of people dying. That's part of life. Every year you have millions of people die in our country.
Yes.
Okay, John, you have a virus that's everywhere. Aren't a large number of people going to die with the virus?
Yes. That's called life.
It'll exaggerate, yes, because it hurts, but anyway,
And we've said this many times. I'll make sure that everybody doesn't leave the program today thinking Andy and I hate everybody, because we don't. What we're saying is things happen. It's called life. Babies are born. People get old and die. They die in car crashes. My brother, who was 54 years of age, died of a brain tumor. Stuff happens, folks.
And we're not denying COVID.
No. It's called life, though. Get over it and move on.
Yes.
We've got to live our lives. We cannot be fearful of living life, or we're going to be ruined as a nation, as people group, period.
But here's the thing, John. We have to come back because we are fearful.
That's right.
I mean, we've actually got to turn the tide now.
We do. We really have to, folks. Extreme Auto Repair, folks. Take care of your vehicle today. Get it handled. Tires, yes, they'll sell you Cooper tires at cost. 303-841-1071 or klzradio.com.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right? Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And I did have somebody text in and said they're a critical care nurse and COVID turns into sepsis, so we really do care about COVID when it's all said and done. I will have to verify that. I'm not taking that word. I know that I appreciate what you do, and I appreciate you're a critical care nurse, but I have not seen anywhere out there where anybody talks about COVID turning into sepsis.
That could. It wouldn't surprise me. Nothing would. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. Look, COVID
doesn't
is a bad.
Doesn't change anything on my end.
COVID is a bad thing. Mm-hmm. We don't like COVID. It's a severe respiratory virus. I understand that, but it's not the plague, people.
No, it's not the plague. It's not even close to the plague, folks. I've given you the numbers. I'll continue to give you the numbers. We'll continue to fight this. That's what we do here. Myself, Andy, Charlie, signing off. Have a great evening. If you missed the first hour, remember to catch it next. And otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.